Thank you for being here today with the Yoga Therapy Hour. My guests today are wonderful sound healing practitioners who have written a book called Seasons of Sound. Their names are Julie Afsahi and Jessica Cross. And to me, how it is that sound works, the mechanism of how sound works throughout all of time and history and all different cultures, it's very mysterious. How come we are so impacted by these vibrations traveling through space and hitting our bodies and then impacting our minds and our emotions and even our physical bodies? I think there's so much mystery. It's one of those things in life that I love the mystery of it. Even listening to music in your car, it has such a strong impact on us. And as we talk about in this episode, I think it has to do with the gunas, the three energies, rajas, tamas, and sattva. And I say this all the time, that sound or vibration can go in the back door and really start to change us at a very deep, deep level, even deeper and more refined than the cellular level. This is like the pranic or the subtle body. So we are going to have a good time today. If you are interested in sound and vibration, I think you will love this episode. And let's go meet our new friends. Welcome to the Yoga Therapy Hour podcast. Did you know that we give a free gift with each and every guest? Every month, we go back and find a gift either from the guest themselves, or we find a research article or something really interesting that goes along with the topic, and we send it out once a month. There's many different categories you can sign up for, and look in the show notes and it will show you how you can get to that link to sign up for our free gift every single guest. All right, let's get into the show and go meet our guest for today. Welcome to the podcast, Jessica and Julie. How are you doing today?
Okay.
Well, I'm so glad to have you here. I am one who loves a good sound bath on a Sunday afternoon. And I hear that the two of you have written a book called Seasons of Sound, Sound Healing for All of Life's Seasons. So let's go ahead and start with Julie. Like, tell me how you got interested in sound and sound baths, and then I want to go to Jessica and hear her story about it too.
Perfect. Thanks so much, Amy, again, for having us on. It's such a pleasure to be here. We love talking about anything sound related and yoga related, so we're really, really stoked to be here. But I'm Julie, and I own a yoga studio called Soul Strong outside of Austin. And we've been around for about 6 years. And I was so fortunate that when we first opened, Jessica was one of our very first teachers on our team. And she was already in love with sound healing and immediately brought it to our studio. So it's always been a cornerstone of the work that we do at the studio. But kind of along with our friendship, the time that we've spent together, and then also just the love that our community has for sound healing. It's really because of Jessica that I was introduced to the modality of sound healing in this more modern way. We might talk later about other ways that we experience sound healing out in the organic world or through personal practices or spiritual practices as well. But in this kind of more modern sound healing arena, crystal bowls, also kind of the evolution that we'll talk about with like gong therapy, chimes, and all of the amazing instruments that are coming out now too in the sound healing world. A lot of those more modern components I was introduced to with Jessica. So happy to be here with her too. And so happy to have the opportunity to write the book together.
Beautiful. And I want to say, both of you live in Austin, Texas. Yeah?
That's right.
So that's an interesting thought too that I want to get into later. But Julie, what about sound? Is it the vibration? Like, what attracted you to this?
Well, as many of us in the yoga arena, we come to yoga because maybe we have some issues with stress management, anxiety. So many of us come to yoga seeking help, escape from the whirling of our thoughts, the fluctuations of the mind. And for me specifically, the gong is extraordinarily helpful in tapping into a deeper state of relaxation and connection. So for me, I think I needed a little extra something at times rather than just sitting with the mind and the silence. I found gong in particular to be just a really nice vehicle for me to enter that state of single-pointed awareness.
Beautiful.
I can tell I love the gong.
So we're going to go to Jessica now. Jessica, how did you get involved in, I'm going to call it sound therapy. I don't know if that's accurate or if you want to correct me on that, but let's hear your story.
Yeah, thanks for the question. We're so glad to be here. Again, thanks for having us. So yeah, it's an interesting story. I started as a musician when I was a kid, and it was something that I moved away from as I grew older because I felt I need to have a productive, real job in the corporate world as I was moving through college. And, you know, most of my arts and music practices really kind of fell by the wayside and found myself many years later successful, but incredibly stressed out. And landed in a yoga class for the first time, which started this entire evolution, and moving my body eventually brought me back to music and sound, and in a class on a particularly importantly needed mental health day, teacher was playing singing bowls and shavasana, and it was the most transformative healing sound I had heard in memory. It was bringing me back and healing me in ways that I didn't know was, you know, quite possible and totally unexpected because I had gone to a yoga class and I was not looking for something like this, but it found me and I needed to know more. I went straight to the front of the room, as probably many of us have after a yoga class that had a really big experience for us, and I needed to know everything. And that was the first step of many on this sound healing or sound therapy journey, which those terms can be used interchangeably to your point. And it has absolutely changed my life. So I'm always happy to talk about sound, singing bowls, also the gong too, big fan as Julie is, but as well as many other instruments. We all kind of find our way through sound.
All right. So I want to get right to the heart of the matter, which is for me, like, what is happening? And I want to just tell you a little experience I had a few weeks ago and then see if you can help me understand what happened. So I went to a singing bowl class for an hour on a Sunday afternoon, and I laid down with my little blankie, kind of like nap time. And I have to say, like, the sounds weren't particularly nice to my ears. Like, they were okay, but I wasn't like, God, I love this. And then she got up from the bowls sitting up front, and she was tinkling some little angel chimes around me. And she did that a couple times. And you know, at the end of the class, I was like, that was nice, but honestly, I don't think I'd pay $25 again. That was my first thought. It was like, it was okay. It was lovely. And that's for me a lot of money, you know? So I went home and I took a nap. And in the middle of the nap, I felt a waterfall, is the only way I can describe it, from my heart space bubbling out. Like, I was like, what is this feeling? I've never felt that feeling, a bubbling waterfall type thing coming from my heart space. And it lasted about an hour as I lie there. And I still don't know what happened. So what happened to me, ladies? Anybody? Julie, Jessica, tell me.
I could guess with you as well. We might be able to piece together this mystery, but I've had similar experiences. I think similar to meditation, other mindfulness practices, yoga, sound healing, sometimes we have to sit with discomfort as we're moving energetic blocks through the body. And sometimes as we're moving towards greater wellness and healing, it is uncomfortable. So perhaps like there was something stuck, either, you know, from the heart, mind, emotional, or also just something physical. Perhaps like the dis-ease that you were feeling in the sound bath was perhaps kind of your body energetically, emotionally, and whichever way trying to move that through. But it wasn't until you were able to enter a deeper state of rest, like sleep, that your body was able to process it and move it through. So I think from a, you know, yogic energetic standpoint as well, you know, we have the Panchakosha system and So there's many layers to our being. So maybe something in one or many of those layers was a little bit stuck. And those little angelic chimes were able to just move it through.
Okay, Jessica, I want your explanation of what happened to me.
Isn't that the best, though, when something like this happens? You're like, what the heck? And it's like you're in your own laboratory. You know, I agree. Like, I've had similar experiences that I can't quite unpack. And I don't know, I can't tell you, you know, first A, then B and C happened. And this is why we feel D. In a sound bath experience, you know, we're different every single time that we show up. The sounds are different every single time we show up. The environment is different, et cetera. And I find often too, kind of adding to Julie's point of, you know, when we're showing up for, you know, our own journey to greater wellness, it can be uncomfortable. And sometimes we are in a space already that we're not quite aware of. So in your case, if you're feeling this like water, fluid, heart energy, like maybe you were already feeling that, but the sound experience, or at least the pause in your day, gave you the opportunity to actually feel it and recognize what was going on. Just a guess.
Yeah, I like what you're saying, that none of us really knows. There's not a systematic answer. I can tell you, I was not in a heart flowing space going into it. And that feeling that I had was so strong and so powerful and like nothing I've ever felt before, that it would have been noticed. You know, not to say you're wrong, Jessica, but just my own interpretation and owning my own experience, I feel like something got unblocked, as Julie was saying, that I probably was unaware that I was feeling so blocked going in. That I was probably unaware of. And that irritation I kind of had with the teacher, like, complain, you know, that I think something just poof, just unblocked and the water was flowing. So anyway, thanks ladies for diagnosing me. But I think the reason I bring that up is I had an experience that I'm not able to explain with my prefrontal cortex, right? That this is moving on the level of the gunas, rajas, sattva, tamas, that it's almost coming in through the back door of our consciousness. Does either of you want to say anything about that?
I mean, I think what's interesting too, as we're talking about this, is this morning I was preparing for a training and looking at like the latest research around sound therapy, music therapy, and it's all about what's happening in real time with people or pre or post the sound bath, but right after, right? So we're talking about you give a survey right before and then you give a survey right after. But I think what's so interesting, Amy, about what you're saying is so many people who talk to us are talking to us about that evening, hours later, the next day, the following week, or people who attend multiple sound baths over time, many months, years, and we are not looking at that in the research. And so, yeah, I think also just the wisdom that you were sharing about yogic philosophy might be another lens in which to look at it as well, you know, specific to the energetic body. Like, I don't know how you quantify that or study that, but it's definitely an explanation that might make sense. So something stagnant, you needed the vibration of sound to help just move it through to reach that more harmonized, balanced state. Makes a lot of sense. But I think the timing of this is interesting for me because it just kind of opened up this new doorway in my own mind. That's like all of the research I was looking at is very much like as the sound bath is happening or right after. And I love that you're bringing up this point of actually my experience was like hours later.
Yeah.
So thank you for that.
In yoga therapy and Ayurveda, we call that the post-digestive effect of something was cooked, you know, that's the metaphor. And that later there was a digestion that was happening over a few hours for me. It could be the next morning, like you said, or even a few days later. And that post-digestive effect caused something. I knew that. I knew it just from yoga and Ayurveda that, but I didn't understand why that happened. Like vibrationally, was there, tamas in there, and was it kind of stuck and lethargic, and was I holding on to something and it kind of got pushed through? That's what I don't yet know. So how about you, Jessica? What do you think?
I love this scenario too, because, as yoga teachers, as yoga therapists, sound healers, these are questions that we receive, frequently after sound baths, or as, Julie was talking about, month to month, if people are coming, to your sound bath quarterly and they share an experience from the previous time, that, it's always such a unique experience for each person. And how we're unpacking it too, I think you're coming around to what actually happened. Whereas before, you knew something was going on, but you didn't really have, as you said, the words or the prefrontal cortex ability to process at the time. And so now, through, the conversation and the processing that we're doing right here, which we do with our students after sound healing experiences, like, we're kind of unpacking and coming around to that answer together. It's really powerful. And I think it's a really good reminder that, we don't know all the answers, and sometimes we just are here to listen and help people process what their experience is as best as we can within the scope of practice.
Well, I think that's another interesting point that you've just made, that you are providing a container for an experience, but you're also, it sounds, and I'd like to hear more about this, offering a therapeutic relationship after the fact to process and digest this. Did I get that right?
In some respects, yes. So we often have people approach us after a sound healing experience, right after or later, and share similar stories to yours, Amy, about what their experience was, either in the sound bath or during the post-digestive effect, as you were just eloquently describing. And we're here to listen and give resources as best we can, again, within the scope of our practice. We're not therapists, we're not trained in mental health or in any way. So, we're yoga teachers and sound practitioners. So from that lens, we can share from our experience, and as well as providing resources as best we can.
Julie, do you want to add anything to that?
Yeah, for example, like in gong therapy is more of the one-to-one arena of sound work for gong players. It's similar to yoga therapy. There's like an intake process, and then also you're looking at sound, but also maybe some complementary modalities that you can bring into the session with the client, pranayama, mudra, meditation, mantra. In those cases, when working one-to-one, yeah, there is a processing afterwards as well, and a bit too of like decompression before sending people on their way. Like many things, like in an ideal setting, people are coming from multiple sessions with some, perhaps some goal setting, something that they're working towards, even if it's as simple as like just moving through the day with a little bit more ease. But there is like a strategy to that too, as to how we play instruments. It's a more small group or one-to-one setting, because there's this scientific idea of entrainment, that your nervous system syncs up with the sounds around you. So, for example, if someone is like in a constant state of overstimulation, high anxiety, we would, of course, play more slowly. We would slow the beats of what we're playing, or perhaps play deeper, more resonant sounds, so that we're able again to bring them to that more balanced and harmonized state. But that's the ideal situation where we're really able to hone in on what's going on with someone and what their hopes are in the one-to-one arena is amazing. But often, like you said, like most people are just going to group sound baths.
And so I heard you, Jessica, say within the scope of practice. Do you mean the scope of practice of yoga therapy using sound as one of the modalities within yoga therapy? Or does sound healing have its own scope of practice, or both?
Great question. Yes. So I can speak only to my experience to it in terms of scope of practice and what we teach. Julie and I teach in our sound healing certifications, but we aren't yoga therapists. We do know that there is a lot of opportunity for sound and yoga therapy to collaborate. You know, we were kind of talking about in the gong therapy arena, there is some similarities with different practices that are offered in terms of mantra, mudra, pranayama, etc. But in our terms, we're generally training and sharing in a group setting. And we like to remind our practitioners, you know, kind of what they are being trained to offer. And it is a group, basically a general sound experience for everybody who's coming in. It's just like when we're, you know, our yoga teachers are teaching it, you know, all levels flow, as an example. Our sound healers are also offering in that same arena. And we want to remind everyone and have them move from a place of remembering that we aren't mental health therapists. We're not yoga therapists. We're not doctors in any way. And everybody wants to know exactly what's happening to them in these scenarios when we're having this like processing and discussion after. And we do our best within that scope. So yes, we definitely recommend our sound practitioners to stay within their scope of practice.
Hey, did you know that Optimal State has a special course to help you learn Yoga Nidra? The first course is free. It's called 12 Days of Yoga Nidra, and you can find it at www.optimalstateyoganidra.com. And if you like that and you want to add becoming a Yoga Nidra facilitator to your skill set, no matter what job you do, which might be being a mom or a nurse or a therapist or a yoga teacher, we would love to train you in our 6-month Yoga Nidra facilitators course. Again, www.optimalstateyoganidra.com. We hope you'll join us.
Yeah. And you know, I'm just thinking, as you say, mudras, mantras, sound. I mean, to me, those are all the most subtle tools of yoga and therefore the most powerful. They have the potential to create transformation and trajectory shift. I mean, according to the Upanishads, more so than the more gross, tangible things like asana, you know? So I can imagine what a big responsibility it is for you ladies to do this with grace and mindfulness and attention and focus and presence. Like, this is a big deal.
You know, the other interesting component too is, so Nada Yoga is the yoga of sound, and a lot of the works have not been translated around Nada Yoga. So we're hoping that as there's more interest in Nada Yoga and more scholarship, that we'll be able to uncover even more information on these ancient tools. So, you know, humans evolved with sound. Universally, all cultures have a component of spirituality and sound. It's not unique to any part of the world. But we're hoping as well, from the yogic philosophy perspective, that as there's more scholarship and interest, we'll learn more about maybe some of what you're talking about, like what are these energetic effects from a philosophical standpoint of what could be happening in the body and the mind and spirit.
So beautifully said. I think you probably all know this, but I've heard that there are different tones that go with each of the chakras, like, you know, middle C is the heart chakra. I don't know if that's true, but you know, it has like the octaves of the sounds connected to the different parts of the body. And then you'll see these really beautiful pictures of like the Gayatri mantra and how each one of those syllables, Sanskrit syllables, pings energetically at a different point in the body. So when you're listening to the Gayatri mantra chanted correctly, like it's like ping, 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 like all over the place. I just think that's fascinating. Do you have any thoughts about any of that, Jessica?
I love, and we frequently talk about the chakra system in terms of, and sound healing. It's kind of synonymous when it comes to crystal singing bowls, as well as gongs have a small section that are tuned. Some gongs rather have a small section that are tuned to the different chakras, but you can also play each gong with the intention of connecting in with a specific chakra or moving energy, similar to Kundalini energy up through the Sushumna. There's so much here. It's kind of hard to pick one thing from what you just mentioned. The sound has so many layers And I think that that's what's so exciting about the field as it's continuing to emerge. It's offering a lot of additional layer to our yoga practice, our meditation practice, and we're seeing different connections as the scholarship, as Julie mentioned, continues. There's just so much here. So if there's interest in kind of unpacking mantra, as you were mentioning, the Gayatri, if there's interest in diving deeper into the subtle body and chakra work, that's there for you in sound. And we need people to go deep in research and provide evidence-based studies desperately. There is just not enough funding and not enough people doing sound, even though it seems like it's all over our Instagram feed, right? We need more people doing this work so we can continue to unpack it.
Yeah. You know, it's so interesting. We know that it has validity and value. It has stayed sound as a healing modality has been around since the beginning of humanity, and all the indigenous cultures have used it. And then that feeling of being in a group while experiencing sound, I think, is a whole nother powerful, that the group itself is a healing modality. You know, not that it isn't nice to get a one-on-one assessment and get the sound, you know, chosen just for you, but I think being with a group of people and allowing ourselves to be present with one another is like, that's a different level of healing, not better or worse, just different. So tell me about the seasons of sound part. Julie, do you want to take that one?
Yeah, absolutely. So talking a little bit about our book and the framework for our book, it's about seasons of sound is a way to look at, as a sound practitioner, whether it be in your own meditation or leading group sound baths, one-to-one healing, a way to kind of look at a framework that you can use when theming the work that you do, the sound bath that you provide. And we look at it, you know, with the seasons of the earth, also in alignment with the sacred syllable Om. So the four parts to Om, similarly aligning to the seasons of earth. So spring being the beginning, and then winter offering kind of this closure to the season and the silence and the stillness. So we use this as a framework that each season we provide meditations you can use for yourself and for others. Also ways to play singing bowls and gong in alignment with the theme of the season, and then mudra as well and pranayama. But the other component too is, let's say you live by the equator and you don't have seasons. Arguably Texas as well does not have seasons. So we also talk too about kind of just the seasonality of life. So perhaps you're like in a state of transition or the state of planting seeds in your life, nourishing that soil and waiting for it to blossom. We also align it with like just phases, times of your life that you might be experiencing.
Beautiful. I really love that touch. I've never seen anyone else really bring that in. And I think that's so in alignment with the principles of yoga and Ayurveda also, right? So this is amazing. Jessica, anything you want to say specifically about the seasons of sound? I mean, I think you could maybe tell us a little more about like the different seasons of life.
Thanks for the question. And really, Julie, so beautifully told you about the earth seasons. And I think really at our heart, the seasons of life are really what drove the choice to really connect the book back to seasons. Because yes, we may be in the heat of summer, but we might be feeling, you know, the depths of winter based on, you know, what's going on in our personal lives. Also what's going on around us as, you know, culture can be really tough. And we wanted the reader to really take the time to understand where they are and find the balance with the practice. So if they're looking for a little bit of upliftment and it's not spring, it's okay to use the practices for that their use. And that's really the intention. And we do talk about this in the book, that we really truly hope that the practitioner makes this their own, whether or not they want to align with the earth seasons, whether they find themselves in Australia or New Zealand and it doesn't quite match up for them. They are their guide and they're in the driver's seat. So we hope that the seasons in the book are used to help to support them best.
Beautiful. All right, we're getting a little close to the end, but how is this going over in Austin, Texas? When I hear you talk about mudra and mantra and all of this, Om, like, tell me, I know Austin is very progressive compared to the rest of Texas, but I would imagine like this is a really big deal to like provide this service. Can you tell me about that?
I can tell you about that. So, you know, we work in Austin, but also in surrounding areas. We've been doing some sound baths in Killeen, which is outside of Austin. It has a large military community, and it's going over remarkably well. But I do think if, and I might be judging and I might not be correct, but I think if I rolled in, you know, using quite a bit of Sanskrit and then just right off in the beginning chanting, it might not go over so well. So I think one thing that we do really well, and it's included in Seasons of Sound, is using not only a trauma-informed approach to sound healing, but also I think the way that Jessica and I, because of years of experience, I think where we excel is making everything very approachable and using language that's pretty universal for all people, regardless of political beliefs, spiritual beliefs, really working on giving the opportunity for all people to experience sound, meditation, mindfulness for what it is at its core. Because I know you've talked about this in your podcast as well, Amy, but just kind of the universality of yoga, as you even mentioned earlier in the podcast today, but just sound is a universal piece that we've all used for connection to our higher self, for stress reduction, to connect with others, as you mentioned, like singing in group, a mother humming to their baby. Those are points of connection. So I think where we really excel is like making it very approachable, accessible for a lot of people. So if you go to a sound bath with Jess and I, wherever we're at, we explain the instruments before we even start. We actually play a little bit of gong. We play a little bit of the chimes. We play a little bit of the crystal singing bowls for folks. We explain in very like layman's terms, like these are tools to help us with relaxation, with decreasing stress. We might talk a little bit about cortisol just to kind of help use language that everyone can kind of get on board with. But we spoil the surprise. We don't want people to just be staring at these crystal bowls and gongs and thinking like, what the heck is that going to sound like in 40 minutes? Is she going to whack that gong and scare me? So we talk about that in a really kind of fun, laid back, approachable way.
I love that. And I have to ask the hard question. Do you ever feel on that borderline of cultural appropriation? Or do you feel like, no, we do say the word mudra? And maybe I'll go to Jessica for that one. Because I know that also is a very sensitive topic in all of our communities these days.
It's a great question. And I believe that anybody who's listening to this podcast and your show feels this deeply. It is a line that we're always trying to toe as teachers, as yoga therapists, as sound healers. We want all to feel included. And we also want to give reverence to the practices for which, you know, where they came. And I think, you know, it's always a balance. And at the end of the day, we want people to be exposed to the practice. And if we can create a doorway for them to come in and for them to learn more, that's the goal, rather than shut the door in their face or have them shut the door in their face. Rather, we want them to step in and create a level of curiosity so that they are more open and interested. And we found that that approach has worked best. We have people who are walking in unsure. Maybe their wife drugged them to the sound bath and they have no idea what's going on and they don't want to be there, to staying after and asking more about, could you play that crystal bowl for me again? I want to hear it while I'm standing here. Like there's a I think a level of experience that Julie and I have gathered that has helped us customize the experience as best we can to everybody who's in the room. And I think at the end of the day, that's the way we're going to get people to be most open to all of the origins of the practice.
You know, it's a very controversial thing to say, but I do say it because my teachers in India told me to meet the students where they are. And obviously, my students know that I'm teaching yoga from India and, you know, that I'm using the tools of yoga. It's not to hide any of that. We give credit and we meet the students where they are. Both can happen at the same time. All right, ladies, we've got a few minutes left. I want to hear about your trainings. Are they in person? Are they online? How long are they? Tell me about that, Julie.
Yeah, absolutely. So we have currently a lot of in-person trainings. They're typically 20-hour trainings that happen over a long weekend, a three-day weekend. All of our trainings right now are being offered in person in Texas, so different parts of Texas, Killeen, Midland, the Austin area as well, which you can find at my website, Soul Strong Yoga, or Jess's Sound for Stress. But also Jess at Sound for Stress, you can find a one-hour intro course that is online that's pre-recorded. So if you just want a little bit of a taste, you can try that first. And then our book, Seasons of Sound, is really built to be very approachable. So whether or not you have a lot of experience with meditation and sound, if you've just purchased a small metal singing bowl and you have no idea what to do with it, you can pick up the book and learn more. Or if you've been offering sound therapy for years, we hope that you'll pick it up and maybe have a little bit new insights on ways to lead and guide sound baths with the theming of the seasons.
And that book, Seasons of Sound, is on Amazon, yes?
Yes, it is.
Jessica, what do you want to tell us to finish up?
Yeah, thanks again. This has been so much fun. You can find out more about the book at seasonsofsoundbook.com, where you can also connect with Julie and I and find a link to the Amazon listing if you want to grab it for yourself. We also have information about our trainings there. So it's a great place to connect with either of us and to check out our trainings.
Great. And I'll put both of your websites and all of this. I have the media kit, so I'll make sure to put all that in the show notes for anybody listening. And any last thoughts that you'd like to share, or do you feel complete?
I feel like this has just been such a wonderful experience. My mind is racing. I can't wait to take some notes after this because of that element of the idea of processing and kind of the energetic effects after the sound experience. You really brought something new to light, Amy, and I thank you for that. And I can't wait to dive in more on a personal note. So thank you.
Just go into GPT chat and put in Ayurveda post-digestive effect. It is fascinating. Our audience can do the same. Like that is something that we in the West don't think about. It's really fascinating. All right. Last words from you, Jessica.
It's just been such a joy. Thank you so much for your podcast, for your work, for everything that you're doing to advance yoga, yoga therapy, and including sound healing with us on your show and for your listeners. It's honestly, I know, a lot of work, and we really appreciate you. And we're just so glad to be connected.
Oh, thank you so much. This is like one of my favorite things on earth to do is to talk to people like you and see what you're passionate about. I mean, it's really wonderful to work with people who found their meaning and purpose in the world and are doing it and doing it well. Like, who doesn't want to talk to people like that? So thank you both for being here. I really appreciate your time, your energy, your love, and I'll be checking out your sound bath trainings. So
thank you so much.
Thank you, Julie and Jessica, for joining us today. It was really lovely to meet you both. I want to show our listeners, especially for those that are watching on YouTube. I know those of you listening on a major podcast platform can't see this, but basically Julie and Jessica have a yoga studio and it's called www.soulstrongyogatx.com, TX for Texas. And then they also have a website just around the sound, Sound for Stress, www.soundforstress.com, Sound Baths in Austin, Texas. And then they also have website, Seasons of Sound book, that tells all about their book. So many, many resources for you all to find and get to know them better. And I just want to thank them for being here today. All right, everybody, have a great week. We'll see you next week.
Thank you for listening to the Yoga Therapy Hour podcast. After several years of beta testing, we are finally ready to build a community around a mobile app, the Optimal State app on Android Store and in the iPhone Store. On this app, we're going to start hosting classes, regular meditation circles, and really start to build a community of yoga teachers, yoga therapists, Ayurvedic practitioners, and healthcare practitioners that want to come together on a regular basis and have a community that is empathetic and compassionate and kind and full of goodness that wants to grow spiritually together. So come on over to the app. You can download it now, try it for a month for free, and we'll be having regular community online offerings through the app, and we would love to see you over there. All right, we'll see you soon.
A special thank you to our team here at Optimal State. We are truly a global family. George Mantuan, one of our executive producers. Adam Satchel, senior media producer and sound engineer from the Philippines. Krishna Panchal, a producer from Canada. Modupe Abdullahi, who does the show notes and is an editor for us from Nigeria. And Peter Morley, who wrote and produced the music for this show, who lives in Australia. Find more about Peter's work at www.zenmusic.biz. Thank you for listening. We'll see you next time.